at the University of Michigan.
We are at the University of Michigan.
My father's alma mater.
We're at South Asian Awareness Network Conference.
Yeah,
I'm very excited about.
Give it up for Zahn. Give it up for us.
So I don't know if you know this. This is my third SAN. I went to the one in 2004. In 2008, now here I am, 2016. So it's been really interesting because I heard yesterday that you've been around since, what, 14 years? Since 9/11 happened, right, in 2001. So I feel like I've kind of been watching the youth of South Asian America grow through coming through all these conferences. So I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, likewise. We have a lot of alumni in the conference as well, yeah? So this is like hella creeping Sharia happening year after year, just indoctrinating the South Asian youth of America.
I know. So exciting.
Let's be aware of that.
So for people who don't know, this is our one-year anniversary show. We started Good Muslim, Bad Muslim exactly a year ago. So happy anniversary to us. We're very excited that we survived.
We survived. Yeah. High five.
Zahra, I got a present for you.
What?
Yeah, I'm very excited. This is my anniversary present for you.
Oh, my God.
I got it in Dearborn.
What? I'm so excited.
Which might make sense if you see it.
Okay, first of all, you cannot surprise a Persian woman with a gift who does not have another gift to give back.
That's fine.
So I have to preface it with a couple of Persian sayings of thank you.
Okay.
I will sacrifice myself for you. I will build a tomb in your name. And I will support your children and your children's children and their children's college funds.
That's amazing.
You are my kidney and my liver test.
So we're in Ann Arbor. So Dearborn has one of the largest Arab American populations in the nation. There's an Arab American museum there. And we went to Yasmin Bakery when we first got here. And I saw this and I was like, you know what? I think I need to get Zahra a magic lamp. Which is quite literally what I think this is.
What?
It was a little, it's this gold lantern thing.
It's got a flower on
There's
it.
There's a... It's knife thing and
I love knives
and like jewels and stuff and
I felt jewelry.
Like if there was anything to get Zahra from Dearborn, I think this would be it.
This is amazing.
Yeah, I know you got here after I did, so it was really interesting to drive through Dearborn and seeing all these Arabic signs all over the place because the population's been here for so long. It's just so much a part of local life.
Does that make you scared when you see Arab people, though?
I'm like, my peoples. Makes me feel at home.
We're all part of the Muslim planet, right? Like, yeah. Whether you like it or not. Like, Mexico's Muslim. Canada's Muslim. Like, it's just basically like anybody else that has oil potentially or resources somewhere. We think they also might be Muslim. That means Texas, you're Muslim.
Texas is totally Muslim. We'll have a picture of lantern up on our website.
Thank you for my anniversary present.
You're welcome.
I got you an anniversary present also.
Yeah?
Yeah, I sent it via Magic Carpet Ride Amazon.
Yeah.
And somebody stole it.
Yeah. I told you, I live in a shady neighborhood. Don't mail me things.
I didn't, like, believe that it would be that bad because it was Christmas Day. Like, it arrived Christmas Day.
Yeah, no.
And so someone took it.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. I live in Koreatown in Los Angeles, and it's just not a place where you send packages. But that's okay.
Well, what does Santa do?
He doesn't come to those neighborhoods. Wah, wah.
Or now we know where Santa gets his gifts from.
Yeah.
What? I'm with you guys on the ooh on that one. So it's a new year.
Yeah.
And stuff with Muslims is going really well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've had a lot of things to talk about this past year, which has been really exciting.
They've escalated considerably.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's going to escalate until the election's coming up, for sure.
Until there's a Caesar's Palace in Iraq and everything else is concrete. Is it too dark for everyone?
Yeah,
it's just dark and sad.
So what's this year been like for you of, like, doing this podcast? Because we've been doing, we have 12 episodes out. This is our 13th. It's been quite a journey. Mm. What's it been like?
Well, I lost 30 pounds.
You did?
Yeah.
You probably gave it all to me. I'm all stress eating over this podcast. Tara's like stress losing weight.
Don't you hate it when people do that though? Like whenever I was like in high school and my friends would like stress lose weight.
Yeah.
I just like would secretly, but not very secretly, hate them for that. And like eat, hate. And like hate, eat. It was not helpful.
Not healthy either, probably.
Yeah. It's been a glorious, glorious year, actually, for me. I feel like I've grown so much. I feel like the podcast has grown so much. I remember you telling me before we got on here when we were in the green room just now that, like, a fan came up to you and talked about how he was so excited to hear our whole podcast in a binge and, like, see our voices and how they grew over the year.
Yeah.
And that was really touching.
Yeah.
And exciting that a fan heard it and could hear it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. That was really an awesome experience. We love hearing from our fans. We've been getting some interesting fan letter lately. We got someone that said that we need to talk slower. So we're probably not going to do that.
We should also probably preface that with we have some new followers.
Yeah, because we were in Oprah magazine. So I don't know if I told you this, but my sister was like, when I cracked a joke to her, and she's like, who thinks you're funny? I was like, Oprah thinks I'm funny. So, and then she was quiet after that. I feel like that's like the best. I'm going to like use that for as long as I can.
Oprah is as close to Allah as you can get.
Oh. That was Zara that just said that, not Taz, for our listeners.
What's wrong with it? Oprah Allah. Eventually it'll be at Starbucks.
It will, yeah. Wouldn't it be great if our podcast was like blasting through the Starbucks radio?
That would be kind of awesome.
That would be ultimate creeping Sharia.
No burka, caramel latte for my... we both had crazy synchronicities happen when the Oprah magazine piece came out. Because we weren't sure actually if it was going to go through. We were featured in Oprah as a podcast to take note of and a must listen. What?
Yeah.
Hello. Good job, listeners. You were doing what Oprah said to do and you didn't even know it. And everyone in this audience gets a car. Look under your chair.
Don't look under your chair.
There's nothing.
I think for me it was really touching. For people who have been following, my mother passed away 4 years ago, and she was a huge fan of Oprah magazine. We used to get copies of it sent to our house, and my mom like loved it. And it was just really like important for me that it feels silly to say that it was important. I was an Oprah because I'm sure my mom would have been proud of me regardless, but it was like really one of those moments where it was just super touching that it was like, oh my gosh, my mom used to read this all the time. And now she's not here, but if she was here, she'd be so happy because I got into Oprah magazine, you know?
And she kept the subscriptions too, right?
Yeah, she kept it for a long time. We had to throw them all out after she died because she would like save the Oprah magazines for a long time.
Yeah, my mom immediately called every person she knew.
Yeah.
It was just like out on the Persian Kid Network. You get like an email forward of like every kid that's like in the Persian community of the world. My kid is an astronaut now. What? So the timing of this is kind of crazy. So we're like both doing our separate things. I'm at my house. You were at a coffee shop. And I live with my parents. It's me and my infidel husband living with my parents. What? Then we got from Deonna Kelly a post that said, look at this, because Oprah subscribers, you get the magazine first before everybody else. And we were in the February issue. It's January. And she took a screenshot of it. And right away, tell them what song came on at the coffee shop. It was Alicia Keys, right?
It was
right?
Alicia Keys, the Girl on Fire, or is it right?
This girl is on fire.
I was like, what? This is amazing.
And then, like, your friend came in at the same time.
Then I was like, I started crying. My friend walked in. I was like, how did you know I was here? It was super, like, a magical moment. I don't know. Oprah does that, I guess, right?
And that's when I got, like, 20 minutes later, I got the phone call. And my husband comes running in the room and says, I got into med school. And I was like, Oprah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So, Oprah, wherever you are in your spaceship listening to this.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Oprah. Thank you, best friend Oprah.
And thank you, Zoe Davidson, who was a fan of the show and contacted us through our contact form and made that possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Give it up. And looking back at the year, we've done a lot.
Yeah, we've done a lot.
We've defied the odds. We are a podcast that is on once a month, which in podcast land is like you don't exist. With podcasts, it's like quantity over quality. Like you want one out a week, you know, to make that iTunes algorithm work for you. And we're two Muslim women.
Yeah.
Can Muslim women talk? Are you safe? Do you have voices? Are you all right? How are you doing underneath all of that oppression? And we're doing okay.
Yeah.
I feel like, yeah. Yeah. The only oppressor is that person that keeps asking those questions, it feels like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
over here.
So thank you for all of our listeners. Thanks for listening to our podcast. Please share it with people. If you're listening, if you're using a podcast app, you can actually slow down our voice if we're talking too fast. I'm just saying, putting that out there. There's probably a function for that. I know I have the friend who said that he was a fan of ours. He was listening to us on Hyperspeed
podcast. Really?
Yeah, there's some app out there.
So we should probably
really talking really fast. So
we should probably clarify for our audience, our listening audience, that old just means over 20. Yeah. Right. Like.
Or people who don't have Snapchat.
Yeah, there you go. That's the better. Everyone who doesn't have Snapchat, that would be me.
So we'll
slow down.
Let's jump into our big topics.
Yeah. You guys ready for some big topics? Yeah. What could be big in the land of Muslims?
All right. So let's get started. We are in Michigan. There's like nothing going on in politics here, right? Right? No? Yeah, there's a lot going on. We'll see if Governor Snyder is in office by the time this podcast goes out. Right? Yeah. There is call to have him not in office because of what's going down in Flint. Flint, Michigan has a water crisis going on.
That would be one way to put it.
Michael
Moore referred to it as a genocide.
Yeah. Do you want to speak more on it?
Yeah. Well, the huge oversights is what happened. Major oversights. And it looks like from the emails that this could have been resolved in advance.
There's like 600 emails or something that were released. The EPA knew stuff was happening and didn't respond to it. Like, it's a terrible... terrible crisis. In Flint, we learned that Flint is the deadliest city, right? Is that what someone said? It's the deadliest city in the U.S. There's a lot of racial justice issues that are going on in Flint. It's just terrible. It's terrible what's happening. And water is just one of the many issues that are happening. And this is one of those things which shows how racial disparity exists in the nation and how communities of color and communities that are unable to, you know, advocate for themselves because they're trying to survive, how they're so marginalized.
For the record, all Muslims condemn the water of Flint. That's condemned.
Yes.
On behalf of all Muslims. Super condemned. That's a super condemnation. Condemnation.
Some other things going on here in Michigan is, did you know this? I didn't know this until this week, that you have a city council with a majority Muslim city council. This is in Hamtramck, which has a huge Bangladeshi population. I heard there are some Bangladeshi kids who go to high school in Hamtramck. Are any of them here? Can you scream if you're here? Awesome. So San has a program at the Hamtramck High School, and they're trying to, you know, I actually don't know what's happening there, but I mean, what I hear is that, like, they're doing some leadership development programs at the high school level. And it's so exciting because, I mean, I'm Bangladeshi, and I didn't have any of this growing up. So I can only imagine how awesome it is to have this program in our high school. I was the only, like, brown person at my high school, so it must be so cool to be able to have a club like this. And also to live in a city where you have a Muslim majority city council. So this just happened, right? Like, I think in November. Correct me if I'm wrong, because the room probably knows better than me. I think this happened in November. Is that correct, when the elections happened? And then the population of the city is 22,000. So it's like the most densely populated city in Michigan, right? Am I getting that right, too? I used Wiki as my resource. So...
as you're saying all those numbers, in my head, I'm like, my gut... I'm just, like, worried because, because, like, already when there was the conflicts in Minnesota, Pat Robertson was like, Minnesota is being dominated by the Somalians.
Yeah.
And, like, now, like, as we say all of these numbers, like, proudly, there's, like, some right-winger idiot.
Oh, yeah.
That's like, Michigan is being taken over. How do you feel about that?
No, that's totally what's happening. So, like, two of the things that actually relate is that I believe it's in the city of Sterling Heights, they tried to put up a mosque, but then the Iraqi American Christian community really pushed back on having the mosque built because they were afraid of like ISIS coming in, even though it's just, you know, Muslims that want to pray that are coming in. So that happened. So there was like a 9-0 vote that rejected the mosque from the local community. And then the other thing that happened was that Governor Schneider, when the Syrian refugee crisis was at its height, Governor Schneider was one of the governors that was rejecting having Syrian refugees come to Michigan. So you definitely hear have that xenophobia fear happening in this state.
ISIS is like jinn.
Well, first explain what jinn is and then explain why.
Well, jinn are poltergeists.
Yeah.
Muslim poltergeists. Da-na-na-na-na-na-na. There's some controversy there. Like, some people believe that jinn are good spirits as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
So jinns are supposed to be this other being that Allah created amongst us, and we just don't see them. So they're both good and evil. And there's a lot of folklore and myths and
disputes about what is and isn't jinn.
So how's ISIS jinn? You said ISIS is jinn?
Because you, like, conjure ISIS.
Oh. Just like, rub that lamp, and then ISIS will come out of it and grant you 3 wishes.
Like, if ISIS granted me my 3 wishes, first of all, they would look at my Hazrat Ali necklace and slice my head off.
Yeah.
Because that's my relationship with ISIS.
Right.
They're murdering Shia. They're committing genocide all over the Middle East of all kinds of Muslims.
Yeah.
Probably the worst enemy of ISIS are Muslims. So maybe we shouldn't call them the Islamic State and give them that.
What are we calling them?
Daesh.
Daesh. That's right.
And Iranians say Daesh, but for the Americans and for Sean Penn, it's Daesh.
What if we got Sean Penn on our podcast?
We should totally have Sean Penn on our
podcast. Sean Penn, get on our podcast.
We need to be drug lords first.
Oh, that's right.
And then he'll play us and get an Oscar. Oh, speaking of the Oscars.
Yeah?
There is something new you can wear at the Oscars.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Dolce & Gabbana hijabs.
Oh, my gosh.
Dolce.
Okay, so for the people in the room, how many of you thought this was a good thing? Or scream.
Or by applause, good
by
thing.
By applause.
We like the Dolce & Gabbana hijab.
How many of you thought it was a bad thing? No one has any opinion on the Dolce & Gabbana hijabs?
One hand raised up. What do you think? Good, bad? Cultural appropriation. Anyone else? Yeah? In the back? Capitalism is profit. Profit is a good thing.
No, it's...
Adam Smith, we're with you. I don't know. I'm a capitalist.
Okay, so I'm not a capitalist. I saw this in the news, and I was so annoyed. I was like, this is so ridiculous. I agree. Like, I totally think it was... It's like a big company that's trying to market off of Muslims. You see this happening a lot in fashion, right? Because there's all the fashion seems to be where Muslims are trying to be marketed to. I think it's cool up to a point. I think the fact that, like, you can find long skirts and scarves at H&M, that's pretty dope because it was so hard to get to that point. But this whole, like, having, like, rhinestone Dolce & Gabbana on the back of your abaya is just, like, a little over the top for me. I just can't deal with it.
I don't know. I'm on the other side of that, I feel like, because, you know, when I go to parties with all my mom's friends, they wear hijab.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, they and want to look good and want to look trendy, and they've got their Louis Vuitton bag. Like, why not their Dolce & Gabbana hijab? And I'm sure it's all over Dubai.
Right, right. That's what I think they're marketing to. I think this whole Dolce & Gabbana, Louis Vuitton, whatever fancy companies are out there that I don't know because I don't buy from them. Like, I think they're like marketing to this really over the top wealthy Dubai-esque community out there.
Because Muslims got money.
Some, but not all.
Are
not
there
me.
Some Muslims? Aren't there just like one Muslim ogre? And we're all inside of his body. And he's on top of a turtle. And that's really the universe. I don't know. I'm just going to creation myths here. I'm exploring.
You are exploring.
I'm rubbing the lamp and wondering. That's what's happening. Also, the fact that it's Dubai also makes me, like, for the Star Wars fans, Dubai is like the Mosley's, what is it, Mosley's Cantina. Dubai is like Mosley's Cantina of the Star Wars universe. 3 Star Wars fans are, like, covering their mouths and laughing.
We're going to get so much hate mail from Dubai people now.
And their hate mail is all because their government is making them do that. It's fine.
Okay, so final hot topic. I wanted to come up with a Muslim drinking game.
What is it going to be?
This is coming from the non-drinker here, for the record, for everyone in media. I don't drink. But, you know, we had to, I was forced to watch Denzel Washington movies last week. We were on Kamau Bell's podcast. What's it called?
Denzel Washington is the Greatest Actor of All Time podcast.
And I've never watched, I don't watch many Denzel Washington movies because I refuse to watch movies with explosions and guns and where Muslims are portrayed evilly. So that's.
And violence. You don't like violence.
I don't like violence.
And Denzel Washington is in a lot of powerful movies that come with a lot of violence. Yeah. And so there were, like, no movies of his that you saw.
No. So for this movie, for this podcast, we watched and reviewed the movie The Siege.
You guys remember The Siege?
1998. This is pre-9/11.
Yeah.
And it was about terrorism, basically.
Yeah, some groany groans in the crowd.
I would not recommend watching it, but I would recommend watching it as a study.
If you pirated the video.
Okay, so here's the drinking game that I want to put. Because within the first 3 minutes of the movie, there was a goat. There was like a herd of goats. There was a man with those beads, which are the prayer Muslim prayer beads.
We say, Iranians say tasbih.
Tasbih. There was a turban. There was someone who was doing that, like, that noise, the ululation. Like,
what's
that? The There was an Allahu Akbar. There were sand dunes.
There was an azan.
There was an azan.
We have our Hollywood azan. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Allahu Akbar. Yalla, yalla, yalla.
And that was the first 3 minutes of the movie. And I was like, if we turn this into a drinking game, you would get so drunk first 3 minutes. And then, you know, like, I mean, it's a joke, but, like, you know, that's how Muslims are represented in movies. Like, it's bullshit.
For the Muslims in the audience that don't drink, I now can't drink because of acid reflux. So, for the record, Allah did smote me. I was smoten for that. So what would we be drinking?
I don't know. Rose water? I don't know. Ruaf Zah, like, out of the bottle?
Be puking.
I know. That stuff's so gross.
I feel like hurling would be fit for this film.
Yeah, it was terrible.
You should listen to the podcast. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it made us think a lot about Muslim representations in Hollywood, which, like, I didn't realize how much until we started, like, really getting into it, like, how much I just was bottling up and just, like, expect.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yeah, okay, this is the norm. And right now, there's the boy, there people are talking about boycotting the Oscars. Oscars so white, right? And New York Post just came out with that cover. It says, New York's going to be whiter than the Oscars. Good job, New York Post.
It was a blizzard.
That's not a meme. And I was on Kamau's show 2 nights ago, actually. It was Thursday night. We did Kamau Right Now. It's episode 2. I was sitting next to Ryan Coogler. Do you guys know him? He wrote and directed Fruitvale Station and Creed. Yeah. You can touch my shoulders later and have a rub off on you. And actually, he, like, I met Ryan Coogler's fiance first. Because he's a gentleman. I just wanted to put that out there. And and Faviana, your buddy.
Yeah, Faviana Rodriguez.
Small world.
From an amazing Latino rebel artist based in Oakland. She's amazing. Go check out her art.
So we were talking about the Oscars being so white, and Kamau mentioned, you know, he didn't want that conversation to be a black-white conversation, that racism affects everybody. And so we were talking about it, too, and I just thought, like, representation in Hollywood, let's see, Well, Maj Shrabani played a terrorist once, but he felt bad about it and, like, turned the terrorist car around. So he was, like, the sympathetic terrorist. And then, like, Asif Manvi played a terrorist in The Siege.
Yeah, I felt like
he spoke Arabic.
He also was in, like, some
interesting
other problematic movies, too.
Yeah, and he, like, also was the, like, his subtitle is, I love America.
Yeah. Your meme for that was amazing. You were able to capture, like,
I have
like
a,
I said,
yeah.
It was like, says something in Arabic, I love America.
And it's Asif Manvi. Yeah. Says something in Arabic, Asif Manvi. What is he saying? I love America. Just send that meme out for condemnation reports on behalf of all Muslims. And, like, who else would we give the award to?
I would give the award to Riz Ahmed. How many of you are Riz fans? I'm such a fan of Riz Ahmed. He was in the movie Four Lions. He was also in the movie Trisha. And he was in one. He basically plays lots of terrorists in lots of movies. But he is able to put in, like, a complex character. He also, like, makes music. So I'm a huge fan. Four Lions, amazing movie on, like, jokey movie on, like, terrorism.
I would give my award to the first Muslim terrorist in a movie that I was introduced to.
Oh, yeah?
That I feel like is the best one.
Aladdin?
No. Jafar is a Muslim terrorist now?
Well,
Aladdin was the Muslim.
I mean, there's that meme where they, like, did a survey of all the Republicans and they wanted to, like,
blow up
Agrabah, right? So, according to Republicans, Jafar is ISIS, basically.
What are your feelings on Agrabah, Tess?
I tweeted a lot about this hashtag when this came out, but I totally detracted you. What were you going to say? Who are you going to give your award to?
Okay, the jihadi in True Lies. Are you guys old enough to know True Lies? True Lies came out, and I was like in high school at the time, I think, it was the first time that I saw Muslims portrayed that way. Like, it was the first time that was impressed upon me. Before that, it was all, like, anti-Iranian rhetoric that was around me. Like, God, I still get asked, have you seen Not Without My Daughter? That movie is, like, 25 years old.
Yeah, none of these students recognize that movie. It was a terrible Lifetime movie that came out with...
Sally Field.
Sally Field. It was really, really bad.
Yeah. And it's just this, like, over-dramatized film where she's trying to get her daughter out of Iran, and the memoir is all hyperbolic and not true and sensationalized. But nonetheless, every house I go to, every cashier I talk to, every person I speak to who hears I'm Iranian immediately asks me, have you seen Not Without My Daughter? What do you think of it? Have you seen it? Like, as if to say, do you know about your people? And the answer is yes. And we would have kept that girl. No, I don't know. What's the most frightening answer to make that person go away? Okay, I totally got off track. My favorite would be the jihadi in True Lies. He goes, yalla, 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 jihad, 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 yalla, 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 jihad, jihad, jihad. And I think he made like $1 million. And if we're just gonna, like, give the award to, like, the guy who, like, was able to capitalize off that the most,
yeah,
it would be him. Like, he never worked again.
Yeah.
Probably because he didn't need to. And I thought he was very convincing. I, like, turned to my mom. I was like, are we terrorists?
It's so funny because yalla just means hurry up, right? So it's just kind of like, hurry up, hurry up, hurry
Dude,
up.
Dude, terrorists are always late.
Yeah.
They are always late. Yalla, yeah. And
it's like that's the one word that they say.
And when people are praying.
Yeah.
Yalla. Like, who says yalla when you're praying? Hurry up. Say what you want to God. You're going to die for him in a second. You talk to him on the other side. In between the virgins. What? Appropriate response to that joke.
All right, so we have a few more segments that we usually do. All right, so Election Watch. So every month we do this thing called Election Watch where we talk about what's going on in the election. So Zara, you wanted to talk about a quote that your husband told you.
I feel like every time we talk about the elections, it's just like the farce just gets crazier.
Yeah, it's been pretty ridiculous. There was a Trump talking about Muslims in the media, but lately Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton have been also talking about Muslims in the media.
What are they saying?
They are saying, like, really, like, lame stuff about ISIS. They're trying to, like, they're coming up with, like, good responses on foreign policy. They're just trying to be as blasé about, like, their political responses, which has been really interesting. And no one's really saying anything of essence right now. So I think we're still too far out for anyone to, like, jump in and get their hands dirty when it comes to talking about Muslims on the Democratic side. The Republican side, though, like, those candidates are talking about Muslims, like, left and right, and it's insane.
Yeah, and the Democrats say nothing other than, we are all people.
Yeah.
We're all good people. Most of us.
Yeah.
There are some of us. There's a fraction of people that are Muslim. But, like, they don't say that. They just, like, skirt around it, which is obnoxious.
Yeah.
There's, like, religion has nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
It's arms and oil.
And you wanted to talk about Sarah Palin?
Well, now I'm just outraged as a capitalist. So, speaking of capitalism, somebody capitalizing on her caricature.
Oh, my gosh. What does she say, Zara?
Oh, you betcha.
I missed it because I was in a conference. So what was she was on stage with Trump?
Oh, you betcha is her coin.
She said more.
Did she?
I think you...
Yeah, so, okay, there was, like, if you missed it, on CNN, there was this big unveiling of Sarah Palin endorsing Donald Trump. And she was saying, like, a lot of candidates approached me to endorse them. And I love a lot of our candidates for their freedoms and for their love of this great nation and of mothers and childs and births and everything that is freedom and a flag and my hateful face. And... wink, wink, and I'm a mom, and then she said, but of all of them, I endorse Donald Trump, our next president of the United States. She got all hyped up there, and then she goes, oh, Mr. Trump. No, I don't know why she got real Southern all of a sudden. Oh, Mr. Trump. Slip right there. She was like, oh, the media heads are spinning just like you said they would. Oh, you betcha. I was like, really? Are the media heads spinning? Oh, is this a big setup? Like, really? Really? Oh, I didn't know. I didn't catch that. So meta.
That's an awesome Sarah Palin impression, I gotta say. That was pretty amazing. Thank you. I was gonna ask our editor to, like, splice in that Sarah Palin thing, but I was like, Zara can just be Sarah Palin. And I was like, that's good enough. That's fine.
Tina Fey, I'll take over.
Yeah. Take over. There was another woman in the media recently. It was a hijabi woman that showed up at Trump's rally, and she just kind of, like, showed up and then was kicked out of the rally.
She wore a... Did she wear a flag hijab? No, she just wore a blue hijab. She was dressed in blue. She was wearing the Star of David... but and it said, like, a word. She
so,
went in.
So she shows up to Trump's rally, and she just, like, makes herself known. And it was just, I mean, it's cool, I guess, because she was trying to, like, create controversy. But at the same time, it was just kind of, like, blasé, because I think it wasn't a very radical action for her to show up. She got kicked out. She said that there was, like, people that were nice to her at the rally. And she's like, there are some Trump people that were nice to me. But I think it was... Like, I mean, our podcast is called Good Muslim, Bad Muslim, and I feel like this was, like, such a good Muslim move of her, right? Like, she was just like, I'm a good Muslim, and I'm going to be, like, a good one that shows up to Trump's rally and, like, pushes back just by being present.
In quotes, good Muslim in quotes.
Yeah, but nothing she was doing was really pushing dialogue. It was just kind of like, you know, just
being there. And you know how I know that? Because it was broadcast positively on CNN. And CNN is Diet Fox News.
Diet Fox News, yeah.
And it's there to legitimize Fox News.
Yeah.
That's CNN's job.
You know what it reminded me of, though? Back in 2011, me and a bunch of folks, we did a hijabi flash mob at the Republican... There was a Republican conference that was happening in Minnesota. We were there for Netruth Nation, and one of these Republican bloggers didn't attack a Muslim woman. Like, there was a couple of Muslim hijabi girls that got into a confrontation with one of their bloggers. So we basically did a hijabi flash mob where we got a bunch of people, and we just, like, stood there and made our presence known and created a ruckus on their site. So,
what did it do?
We made Republicans very uncomfortable by being Muslim women, because by being Muslim women, it makes them uncomfortable, right?
And we like that, right?
Yeah.
Making Republicans uncomfortable.
Yes.
It backfires sometimes.
It backfires, yeah.
Because they have a lot of power and also guns.
Yep.
In their houses.
Yeah.
And they're white, and that helps. And so when they kill you, they get away with it.
Yeah.
And so that helps. Because, so to tie it back, like, I just got surprised by my infidel husband, my white infidel husband, because he quoted a Malcolm X quote. And I was like, ooh. Honey. Oh, my God. So the quote is, the master's tools will never dismantle the master's house. Pretty deep, right? Yeah. Malcolm X. And it came up because I had been watching The Muslims Are Coming.
Yeah.
And that came out in 2011. And I was just so aghast at how different our activist rhetoric sounded in 2011 versus now. And back in 2011, there was this assimilationist rhetoric that was like, we're just like you, we're just like you, we're just like you. And I feel like because of the Black Lives Matter movement, there's this framework now where we understand that, like, we don't need to be just like you. We don't look like you. We don't act like you. We don't talk like you. And you're still not allowed to kill us.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And I think there's this distinct difference in the way that we work against anti-Islamic rhetoric now, thanks to the work that Black Lives Matter has done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I hope that that continues, though we do continue to see that good Muslim narrative playing out in the media, but hopefully we're still being able to push back on that and combat Islamophobia with this anti-Blackness framework and, like, multiracial lens as well.
It's interesting. It ties in for me also because the Ta-Nehisi Coates just put out that article about reparations, right? In response to Bernie Sanders' comment that, like, oh, that'll never get through Congress, which is like, and nothing else too. Like, you know, like free college also probably won't get through Congress. Like, if you want to start with things that are going to be difficult to get through Congress, maybe all the rest of your platform as a socialist might be challenging. I don't know. But it's interesting to me because, like, my white man, my good meaning white man, is kind of like Bernie Sandersing me a little bit. And we actually talked about this on Come Out Right Now. And I was curious to hear your take on this, because a lot of what I get at home is, you know, don't mess with Bernie. Like, he's the best we have. Be nice to him. Support him. We have to get behind him. We don't want the Al Gore-Nader effect. Where are you on that?
I don't know. I haven't been following the candidates so well, even though this is Election Watch. I'm more on the side of just getting people out to vote.
Activating voters.
Yeah.
You have to register voters. To vote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was watching the State of the Union that Obama did recently, and this is where I'm going to declare my fatwa. How many of you saw Nikki Haley speak afterwards, after Obama's talk? Yeah? Nikki Haley is the governor of South Carolina. South Asian woman, right? She's a descendant of Punjabis, and she looked white. Didn't she look white? There, the lighting was, like, so bright on her face. It was like she was white. It wasn't even like she was, like, a white person white. It was like she was, she was, like, a ice white. Snow White. Snow White. There you go. So my fatwa, I wanted a fatwa Nikki Haley, but I felt like that was a little bit too extreme. So I want a fatwa the lighting person who made Nikki Haley look so white. So this is why I think it's ridiculous, right? You have Bobby Jindal and Nikki Haley. These are the two South Asian candidates that the Republican Party always, like, puts out. So Bobby Jindal actually spoke after the last State of the Union, 4 years ago. And Nikki Haley speaking at this one. I feel like the Republicans always pull out these brown candidates to show, hey, we're not that anti-black, anti-brown. And then, you know, but then they're like, well, to make them a little bit safer, we're going to make the light super white on them to make them a little less scary. So,
but what you're saying isn't, like, this is not a myth. Like,
it's not a myth, yeah.
Mindy Kaling, I remember when she was on the cover, I think it was of the Pacific Standard. I remember some of my South Asian friends getting upset that, like, of course, the Hollywood breakout South Asian has these Aryan features. And I was like, she doesn't, though. But they contoured her that way.
Yeah.
And they lightened her on the cover. And that's a thing. I mean, you look at, like, Beyonce also over the years, and she's just blonder and blonder and blonder and therefore safer and more welcoming and more relatable is, yeah, I guess, what I'm supposed to be led to believe. Is that what it is?
I think so, yeah. At least safer for white people, right? Because it makes it less scary for white people. I mean, it doesn't work on us, but...
Lighting does... Yeah. Doesn't work for... Doesn't make us feel safe.
Yeah. Do you have a fatwa to declare?
I do. I have a fatwa on farce.
Can you explain what farce is?
Yeah. So farce, satire, form of satire. And farce is being used right now. You know, people are referring to Donald Trump and Sarah Palin as a duo as a farce. Some people refer to John McCain and Sarah Palin as a duo as a farce. And this is like farce-er, the farce-est, I hope. But the thing is that, like, farce is used as a tool to combat oppression because it's the safest way to, you know, via comedy, kind of like what we do, to get a message through. And, but Donald Trump is using it. And I don't think that Donald Trump is that smart. I think that the people who are the Illuminati behind Donald Trump are that smart and are using it. And it's just, I'm watching it as a comedian working. Because what it does is it dulls the jab, because then everyone says, well, this is ridiculous. And I don't need a responder because it's ridiculous. Which I'm like, by the way, that's kind of what a lot of Muslims say about condemning acts. I don't need to because it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, you know, I appreciated, again, shout out to Kamau for his, you know, hashtag whites against Trump, speak out. So I'm tired of people just falling asleep to the message of Donald Trump, which is one of a lynch mob.
Yeah.
Like, he's not rallying for a campaign election. He's rallying a lynch mob.
Yeah.
He's tapping in.
He's treating it like a reality show. That's how I see it. But the thing about, like, this reality show that he's creating is it's creating, you know, a lot of fear in the community.
Well, when they say we're activating the base, they're saying, they just casually, the GOP will say, well, oh, they're activating the base. They're activating the base. But what they're activating is an existing racism and violence that exists in poor white Southerners that has in the past been lynch mobs. And that's what it's resulted in, is a lot of hate crimes. And nobody's calling them on that.
Yeah.
And it's horrifying. So I'm fatwaing that shit and it won't happen anymore.
Awkward ask a Muslim. So we have the segment where we talk about awkward asks. So for people who have been listening to our podcast, I am single. I'm Tindering and dating and trying to figure all that crap out.
Still.
So one of the guys who I've been on a couple dates with, he texted me out of nowhere and said that he decided that he's not going to eat pork anymore.
Aww.
And... You know, I was like, whoa, this is moving way too fast. Because, you know, I don't know you, like, I mean, and he didn't, like, pose it as a question, like, he didn't say, like, hey, do you want me to, or, you know, he was just like, I'm just, and then he'll text me randomly, like, to say, like, oh, I went to this party and I didn't eat the pork that was there. And I was like, am I supposed to, like, give you a high five or something? Like, is this how you show love for someone? Like, is he like really into me and that's why he's not, like, what is happening right here? Like, I don't. So then I was thinking about it. There's like, because I'm a Muslim woman that does date a lot of non-Muslim men. I realized this has happened in the past before.
What?
Yeah, so like the way it shows up, it's so there are these things that non-Muslim guys will do to show that like they're like kind of down with you being Muslim. So
how does that look?
So number one, they might, even if they've had a beard before, like all of a sudden their beard gets longer, right? I'm not kidding. Like I've dated guys who all of a sudden like just start growing beards. I'm just like, what? I mean, I think beards are attractive, but it gets like a Muslim beard. It turns into a Muslim beard. They start like fasting. When I'm fasting for Ramadan, they start fasting for Ramadan. They stop not eating pork. They stop drinking, or they'll like not drink around me because whatever. They'll like all of a sudden find like those beads, you know, those prayer beads, and start wearing it as jewelry because they found it somewhere in their closet.
What?
They start quoting Malcolm X, you know, to show that they are down with the Muslim girl.
This is all sounding really familiar.
And to show that, like, they're, like, the final one is, like, to show that they're really down, they'll start taking you, like, to restaurants which, like, have goat meat. So, like, one of my exes took me to, like as soon as he found out I was Muslim, he's like, hey, there's this taco spot that has, like, goat meat taco. So that was our first day. It was, like, goat meat tacos. And I was like, okay, that's cool, I guess.
What did he think you were going to say? Like, Allahu Akbar. Goat meat taco.
And it's so, I mean, it wasn't, like, a direct awkward ask Muslim, but I don't know. I feel so awkward every time I get one of these, like, hey, I chose not to eat bacon today. I was like, good for you. Is this like, I don't know. It's so awkward. I have no idea how to deal with this. I wonder if he's going to listen to this podcast and like respond. I don't know. What's your awkward ask a Muslim?
My awkward ask a Muslim was at a party.
Yeah.
By a Persian. A lot of Iranians are not Muslim, which I understand. There's a theocratic government in Iran that makes it hard to be anything but Muslim. Like killing you. And and so some Iranians don't like that I identify as Muslim publicly because they want to separate that identity and say, you know, there are Iranians that are not Muslim. But then there's also this like sort of tinge of racism there where it's like Muslim is associated with brown and Iranians want to be associated with white and we're more Mediterranean or Italian. We're like an Italian. We're like Robert De Niro. And there's that element that makes it hard. So I don't know. I got accosted about like, are you really like, do you really believe in that God stuff? Come on.
And that's like the kind of question you want to have at a party because you want to just like hang out, be chill.
Yeah. And I was like, no, I don't. Of course not. Because I don't believe in God as like the Jesuit Christian God. God, he.
Right.
Right. Like. Allah is neither man nor woman. Feminist Muslim in the house. And I don't want to have that conversation at a party.
No, yeah.
But it's another Persian.
Yeah.
And so she's like simultaneously using it to call me on my like Persian identity, which was weird. And I was like, but can we have punch?
Yeah. How'd you get out of it?
My friend saved me.
Good.
Yeah. I had a wingman.
The funny thing about these two awkward asking Muslims is like it's microaggressions by like brown people.
Yeah.
So usually our awkward asking Muslims are microaggressions done by non-brown people. So it's interesting to see how that also plays out within community as well.
Speaking of community.
Creepy Sharia. DJ Khaled, oh my God. I have Snapchat. Zara doesn't have Snapchat, so I just schooled her on Snapchat.
In the green room.
So DJ Khaled is a hip-hop artist, Palestinian descent. We think he's Muslim. I'm pretty sure he's Muslim. He has like 6 million followers on Snapchat, and he's the best. Because we the best, and he's the best.
Bless up on that.
I don't think you said it right.
I keep trying. And another one.
So there's all these Khaledism, right? Because so if you follow his Snapchat, DJ Khaled says these things. So my favorite ones are what are major key to success, right? He always uses the key emoji. He uses the they don't want you to win.
Not the gender neutral they.
Right, yeah.
But here's the thing, like, we need a new pronoun for they, the Illuminati they.
Yeah, the Illuminati they, yeah.
So, like, you know, send us, tweet us, Facebook us some ideas for a new pronoun to figure out, like, is it, we were talking earlier about, like, there being a that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that. No? Does it work? Yeah. Do you feel oppressed by that?
Another one. Who's your creeping Sharia going out to?
I the elections.
Yeah.
I don't have a creeping Sharia this time because I just feel like it's so ubiquitous how much the Republican machine is feeding into the ISIS machine.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Hassan Minhaj, we quoted him last time around. I just feel like he got it the best, like, WISIS, yeah. White ISIS, right? Like, I mean, everything that they're doing, this is the magic of racism, right? It, like, makes poor white people think that the GOP is working for them. Ha ha. Creeping Sharia, I guess? I don't know.
Do you have a good Muslim award to give out?
I do.
Okay, I don't...
Speaking of The Daily Show, actually.
I don't think I have one this month, so...
Oh, I have so many, like... Oh, I have a good Muslim award to give out. It was really hard for me to choose this time around.
So which one did you end up on?
Well, I took it very seriously as I'm in charge of the Good Muslim Award. And That was a joke. I'm not that narcissistic. Maybe. My good Muslim award goes out to Dalia Mogahed, who was on The Daily Show. Yeah. She is an American scholar of Egyptian origin. She is the director of research at the Institute for Social Policy and Understanding, known as ISPU in Washington, D.C., and she is also president and CEO of Mogahed Consulting. Badass. She's president of that, of her own firm, consulting firm, in D.C., where, like, there's so many dicks. Oh, my God.
What was she talking about?
And she was talking about the hijab, and it was the first time that I saw on a mainstream news show, because for non-crazy people, The Daily Show is news.
Right.
She used the pronoun I. I wear hijab because, and I was like, thank you for doing that. You know, whenever I hear discourse around hijab, it's like there's always this contradiction where I hear people say, you know, you can't speak on behalf of all Muslims. And we, dot, dot, dot. Mm-hmm. We, dot, dot, dot. And even some Muslims, dot, dot, dot. Like, you know, and it's so complex. 1.5 billion people, 100,000 countries. 2 billion sects of Islam.
But to be clear, we, us, you and I speak on behalf of all Muslims.
Well, yeah, that's a given.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why I can give out a good Muslim award.
Right.
Yeah. And I just so appreciated that she used the pronoun I.
Yeah.
Thank you. Because wearing hijab in, so for instance, like wearing hijab as a white person in solidarity in Marin or San Francisco is very different than the person who wears hijab in solidarity in Texas,
yeah,
and in Florida, and in cities in Texas, and cities in Florida.
On a Christian campus where you lose your job because you're wearing a hijab.
That's a very different context. And I don't think she speaks to Saudi Arabia.
Right.
Because that was an accusation made that, like, you know, we have to consider the international politics of it. And I was like, yeah, but there's not an international Muslimness.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, we'll have all these links up on our website when the show goes up. So that brings us to the end of our show. Thank you so much for having us, South Asian Awareness Network. All right. So, Zara, what's going on in your world?
I'm bringing my show, All Atheists Are Muslim, back to San Francisco.
Awesome. I'm so excited about that.
It'll be out February 12th at La Peña Theater in Oakland.
I like that space.
Yeah, thank you to La Peña for having me, and I'll be performing the show there, and I'm also touring it at college campuses. So give a shout out if you're interested in bringing it to yours, like this one. What's up? How about you, Tess?
And I have my Muslim Valentine's Day cards out again. So for folks who don't know, I have Muslim Valentine's Day cards. Can I read you some?
Yes, please.
Would y'all like to hear some?
Yeah.
All right. So I have them if anyone wants to buy them after the show. All right. So I'm going to read some for our podcast listeners.
I should mention also that these cards are gorgeous. Taz is an artist. Was your work featured in the Smithsonian Digital?
Yep.
Do I have that right?
Yeah, it was.
Kind of an amazing artist. Yeah.
The only entrapment is how I'm captivated by your love. Women aren't always property, but be mine. You spices up my life. You've hijacked my heart.
It's a little airplane.
Let me see. Let me do this one. So there's six sets. Is it haram to be drunk off your love?
I love that one.
This burqa is built for two. Is that a gin in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me?
Those are amazing.
Yeah, and I have like 12 other cards available too.
And they're on Etsy?
Yeah, so. One more thing coming out. I have a chapbook coming out. It's going to be called M-Dash and Ellipses. And it's a chapbook is a poetry book that, you know, you create on your own. So I'll have that coming out next month.
Do you have a favorite Muslim V-Day card?
My favorite Muslim V-Day card. I don't know. I think right now You've Hijacked My Heart is the favorite one. Yeah,
that one's pretty good. Can we buy your Muslim V-Day cards and send them to you?
No. Send them to other people. Don't send them to me. I know what they look like.
That happens to you, though, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary, everyone. And thanks for listening to the podcast. I think you had some thank yous.
Oh, yes. Thank you for reminding me of my thank yous. Thank you first to the South Asian Awareness Network. Yeah. Thank you. University of Michigan. Thank you. And thank you also to Lynn Nguyen, Associate Director of Multi-Ethnic Student Affairs, for bringing us here. Thank you. And thank you also to Misha Sheikh, our student coordinator that's been working with us.
Person.
Yeah, for the last year.
And thanks to everyone here. This is amazing. Thank you so much for listening. So happy anniversary.
That's our show.
That's our show.
That's our show.
Thanks for listening to the Good Muslim, Bad Muslim podcast, hosted by Taz Ahmed and Zara Norbash. You can follow Taz on Twitter at TazzyStar, that's TAZZYSTAR, and Zara at Zara Nu, that's ZAHRANOO. The show is produced and edited by Quincy Sarasmith, and you can find us on the web at GoodMuslimBadMuslim.com. To follow the conversation, please use the hashtag GoodMuslimBadMuslim.
Oprah is as close to Allah as you can get.
Oh. That was Zara that just said that, not Taz.